Shalom, shalom to one and all. This is Yoshua, and it's time for Take 10 for Torah Parshas Behaluscha edition. As many parts or some parts of our communities are slowly but surely going back and returning to shul, there's a certain element of this parsha that I would like to discuss that really pertains to what we are going through right now. And within Behaluscha, we find two inverted nuns, and within those nuns, we find a series of psukim. As the Gemara in Shabbos on Kuftas Vavam and Beis explains in the name of Rabbi Huda Anasi, this could actually be considered to be a sefer, a book in and of itself. So in reality, there aren't only five books of the Torah, but there could be as many as seven books of the Torah. What is found within these inverted nuns? We have the psukim of Vayhi ben Soharun, where Moshe is saying this liturgy, this phrase, this command, according to some, as the Aaron is leaving. When it's time for the Aaron to leave, Moshe would say, Nu Hashem, Kum Hashem, get up, move Hashem, go forward, and may all of your enemies be scattered, v'yafutsu v'yivecha, v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha, and may all of your foes, may they run away from before you. It's a very interesting series of psukim, and I would like to discuss for a brief moment how the Shla understands what is going on here. The Shla HaKadosh has an important takeaway lesson from these psukim, from the concept of the Aron and the Mishkan, the Ark and the Tabernacle being able to move. They didn't exist in one specific place, but rather they would travel. They were transient. What is going on here? So the Shla and Torah Shebichsav Parshas Truman, the Torah Or, teaches us that in the beginning of time, originally, in the beginning of the world, when God created the world, God's presence, the Shechina, was primarily found within physicality, within this world. It's only after Adam HaRishon decided to eat from this tree of knowledge of good and evil that our perceptions became warped and we started seeing God as being something other, separate, far away. God's in heaven, we're down here. Beforehand, that was not the case. God was mamish present here. And that was his primary residence. Anyways, and that all changed, or part of that is trying to change, when Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people built the Mishkan. So the Shla continues, V'chziru ha-shechina lishkom b'tachtonim b'o'el, aval lo b'karka, kasher b'tchila sabria. When they built the Mishkan, God's Shechina resided and returned to this world. But it's important to emphasize that it didn't return to the earth. Rather, it came down and it resided in an ohel, in a tent, in a tabernacle. And it appears and it seems that the Shechina, that the presence, is like a guest that moves away from, that moves from place to place. A person who doesn't have a primary residence, but rather it is homeless in a sense. And regarding this, the pasuk says, I will reside, I will rest amongst you, within you. It doesn't say that I will reside down below on earth, but rather I will reside amongst you, as if to say that wherever you go, wherever the Jewish people go, I will go with you, and I will reside amongst you, within you. I will not only be in one specific place. And that is the secret of when the Aron travels. What is the secret of when the Aron travels? The secret, as the Shla teaches us, is that Hashem goes with us. Hashem doesn't only reside in one specific place, but rather it's wherever we welcome him, it's wherever we let him go, it's wherever we go. And that is the secret. The secret of a shul is that a shul, God doesn't reside in the karka, in the earth. It's only because we build something and we make it something. We make it special. So to think that going back to shul and returning to shul is going to be something special in and of itself is not true, because a shul is not intrinsically holy. A shul is only as holy as we make it. So that is part one of the Shla. And part two of the Shla is that he teaches, Ushachatu Yisrael lefanav v'necharav abayis. He says this in Os 10 in the same mimer, that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hari HaMishkan Shelo Mimishkano B'Yad Yisrael U'Molicho Yimayim B'Galus, when the Mishkan moved around, Hashem would also move around, and He comes with us even when we are in exile. V'asod, V'hainu De'amrinon, and also as it is written in the Gemara and Megillah on Chavtas Amud Aleph, and also in the Sifrei and Bamidbar, Chavivin Yisrael Shebechol Makom Shegalu Shechina Yimayim, whoever B'nai Yisrael were exiled, the Shechina, Hashem's presence, was exiled with them. Implying what? Implying that the Aron moved, Hashem's presence moves. It's not in only one place, it's wherever we are. And it's important for us to make that place into a place that is holy, where we can perceive God's presence. So it is a farce, it is false, it is not true to believe that Hashem only exists in one area. And it's not true to think that an area that is holy is only holy because of its intrinsic holiness, short of possibly Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. But it's holy because of what we imbue into it and what we allow to be seen there. And the B'nai Yisrael writes in Igra the Kala and Parshas Ba'alusra that Hainuk Shinasu Ha'am Me O'aleim, that when the Jewish people left their tents, Hainu Galus Yisrael, which is referring to the exile of the Jewish people, Gam Ke Nasa Aron HaShchina Yiman B'galus, the Aron specifically also went with them. No matter where we went, Vayhibin Soha Aron, as we say that Pasuk this week, Hashem goes with us. Whether we're in Shul, whether we're in our homes, no matter where we are, Hashem goes with us, because the Aron isn't attached to one specific spot, but rather it traveled with the Jewish people. Next question. As we move away from the Shlah, did this just disappear? No, it did not disappear. There's a well-known question on the Pasuk of Vayhi ben Sa Aron. Moshe says, Kuma Hashem. And he says, Shuv Hashem. He says, Nu, go forward, God, move, God. And he also says, return, God, settle down, God. How can we possibly command God to do something? Does that actually make any sense? And is that possible? Is it disrespectful? So there are people, and there are Mefarshim, Rishonim, the Rambam, Ibn Ezra amongst them, that translate this and understand this differently. But according to many of the Rishonim and according to Kabbalah, this is very much literal. The Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhin, in Shar Aleph Perek Tes, explains that this is Pshat and what happened before the Jewish people went into the sea by Kriyas Yamsuf, when God split the sea. God looked at them and He said, Nu matitzak elai, why are you screaming at me? Daber el bnei Yisrael v'yisau. Speak to Bnei Yisrael and move. We were scared. We were trapped before the sea and we didn't know what to do. God said, stop screaming at me. I want you to move. Rotza Lomar, what is this coming to say? What is this coming to teach us, says the Nefesh HaChaim? Dibi yadayu tal yamilsa. That's dibi deidu. That it's specifically in your hands, that this is dependent, that your actions will inspire me to do something. Stop screaming at me and do something, because what you do down below will inspire me above. That's what we spoke about last week with the Baal Shem Tov on Hashem Tzilcha Yaminecha and the Kedushas Levi from last week. Hashem is the shadow of our right hand. The same way that our hands move and the shadow moves in turn, when we move and when we act, Hashem responds and Hashem acts in turn. As the Nefesh HaChaim explains and continues, as yigremu al yedei zeh hisorus lemaila sheyaseh lehem anis vikra lefneihem, you are going to cause through your action some form of divine awakening from above that will allow me to split the sea. And he also says that that's why it specifically says sus v'rochvorem avayam, that it's the horse and its chariot that was swallowed up and that was disappeared within the sea. What does it mean? The sus, the horse and his chariot. Should it be the chariot rider and the chariot rider's horse? But rather, it's because the sus, the horse in that situation, actually control the chariot rider, that we as the horses are actually able to control God as it will. And he says this very profoundly at the end. Al kol zeh kivyachol ata manhig osi al yidei ma'asecha. He looks at us, God looks at us, and he says, as it were, It's as if that you control me through your actions, that through acting in a beautiful, positive way, we're actually able to inspire and reveal godliness down here and enable God to be able to interact with us. That's the pshat that the Yalkut Shimoni, if you look in Remez 7-9, he writes all the way in the middle of that paragraph. He says, "Bizman shayu nosim haya amud ha'anan nekar bimkomo al piyam makom, v'lo haya lo rishus laloch ad sheyomar lo Moshe." That the pasuk of Kuma Hashem, new get up at God, move God, is because God wouldn't allow himself to move without Moshe's approval, without the Jewish people's approval. God would lift the Anan, he would lift the cloud, he would lift the pillar of fire, he would say, "I want to move now," but he would wait for Moshe to say, "No, it's time to go," because it is our actions that inspire divine sustenance and divine interaction from above. Have a great Shabbos.